Welcome to another episode of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm back. Gianluca Sola, your host. I've been a bit quiet for the last month or so over Christmas and New Year. I wish all my listeners a great 2021, better than 2020. I don't think that will be very difficult. Let's hope this will be a good year. I've started again my podcasts. I'm looking forward to this year. And I'm starting off the podcasts with an interview with Marcia Gray. She co-wrote a book called Yoga for Tennis. So any of my listeners who are into tennis, of course, and yoga, it's a great episode. She co-wrote it with a friend called Philip Kim, who's a USTA tennis professional, a tennis pro. Marcia has been involved and teaching all kinds of fitness for several years. She's a certified yoga instructor. She's an ACE certified fitness trainer and an ACE certified group exercise instructor. She talks to us about all the benefits that yoga can bring to your fitness, but specifically for tennis. I really suggest you take a look at her book. It's actually brilliant for all tennis players. It's got excellent warm-up exercises with the elastic band and all the poses for yoga that can help you for your tennis. So it's very tennis-specific. Finally, I just want to say the recording wasn't the best. I'm starting to have a bit of problems, especially towards the end of the recordings when I start my mega rapid fire quiz. There seems to be a problem with the syncing. I'm trying to get hold of the app that I'm using to kind of sort this out. It's not too bad, though. I'm sure you can follow all of the interview in the chat pretty easily. I do like to keep my podcasts quite raw, as you know, so be it. So enjoy it, and I'll catch you guys with the next podcast. Ciao, ciao.
Marcia?
Hi, Gianluca. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. Thanks for coming on the podcast. I have to thank Philip Kim because he was obviously involved in getting, introducing me to you. And big thumbs up to Philip and also his tennis podcast, which is called Tennis Pal Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Today I'm talking to Marcia, and we are going to talk about her book that she has published with Philip Kim called Yoga for Tennis. Marcia, where are you? Are you right now?
I'm in the United States, in the state of Virginia on the East Coast.
Okay. And it's 1 o'clock there. Am I right?
It is 1 o'clock here. Yes.
1 o'clock. Okay. Now here it's 8 o'clock in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. I've had a long day, so I've got a nice glass of red wine next to me. So I'm ready for it. Marcia, you have got an amazing past history. You've done so many things. I went through your book and, I did a bit of research and, you're a certified yoga instructor. You're a ACE certified fitness trainer. By the way, what is ACE?
It's an American Council of Exercise. It's like a certifying body for the fitness professionals in our country. There's many of them, but that's one of the big names. There's about five or six that are big names, and I chose to work with ACE because been around for a long time.
Okay, and you're also an ACE certified group exercise instructor. And just to talk about also Philip Kim, because obviously he collaborated with you on this book. He's a professional tennis player, USTA tennis professional. He's a coach, he's a director of tennis, and as I said, he's the host of Tennis Pal Chronicles, and he's also got a tennis blog on social media called At Love Set Match. And I've also noticed he's a massive Roger Federer fan.
He's a huge Roger Federer. Yes, he really is.
Yeah.
And his name is Philip Kim, and he goes by PK, the initials of his first and last name. And he and I were social media friends and connecting and interacting. And so he approached me last year and said, hey, I think you would be interesting, or somebody that would be fun to talk to on my podcast, The Tennis Pal Chronicles, about how your fitness and your yoga would maybe apply to tennis. And I said, absolutely, I would love to. So once we did that podcast, that's still on there, it's called Is Yoga the Secret Weapon for Your Tennis Game? That podcast with PK on the Tennis Pal Chronicles. Once we collaborated, he reached back out and said, hey, what do you think about maybe just doing a couple poses that might be really more specific to a tennis player? And I said, sure, I'm on board. So you know how you organically have an idea. And then he was on the West Coast. He's in the state of California, and I'm on the East Coast. So, well, you have an idea. Okay. And then it just kind of grew from there. One could, like, 10 poses turned into all these other poses, and we ended up co-writing a book called Yoga for Tennis. It's 157 page, more of a pictorial with cues, meaning a how-to to get into the positions. For tennis players, with a bonus 15 minute tennis specific warm up included.
Yeah, Marcia, just before we get to the book, because I did go through it quite a bit in the last few days, and it's very nice. Just tell us a bit about yourself, about sort of how you got into fitness, tennis, and / yoga. Because, you know, I read that you obviously, you started by the sounds of it with fitness, where you're based close to a very big army base. So if you can just sort of tell us your journey that brought you to then write this book.
I'd love to. Well, I grew up in the state of Washington, up in the Pacific Northwest on the west coast of the United States. The upper left corner, a lot of us like to call it on the United States. If you look at the map, we're in that upper left corner. So I grew up there and went to school there, University of Washington in Seattle. And I met and ended up marrying a fellow University of Washington, a friend of mine, and he was a naval officer. So when we got married, we started the Navy officer family moving. Pretty much every 2 years we would move and go someplace new, which I happen to love. It's not for everybody, but I love trying, you know, exploring new areas and, you know, trying new things and setting up a home for a short period of time and meeting new people from all walks of life. So that brought us out here to the East Coast. And the area where I'm at is near Virginia Beach, which is a southeastern corner of Virginia. And that is home to the world's largest Navy base. So there is a huge population of military here. And not only that, there's lots of other smaller bases here for Army and Marine Corps and Coast Guard. Okay. There's a lot of military here, Navy pilots, people that are Navy officers that drive the ships, like the captains, you know, there's just, that's considered the surface Navy or the air Navy, or then the submarine Navy, the people that, you know, go on deployment on the submarines under the water. So there's a huge population here. So I had an opportunity to, I've always kind of been really active. I grew up playing basketball because I'm kind of on the taller side. And, okay. So I was always real active. And so once we moved here, I would, you know, started in on
continuing my fitness journey and working out and trying to stay in shape, and just because I like the way it made my made me feel mentally as well as physically. So I was very much into fitness that I decided to get certified as a fitness trainer. And the beautiful thing of it was on a Navy base. So I had access to people from all over the world, all different, you know, services, Army, Navy, submarine, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, foreign military that would come, foreign dignitaries that would come, and they would come join me on my classes. So I really enjoyed that, and then got certified as a group fitness instructor, and enjoyed working with that. Also, and really enjoyed working with, you know, the elite service members like the Navy SEALs, and just dependents, which are, you know, the here in the States we call them dependents, which are the family members of the active duty member. So I had a lot of interaction with the moms, or I had a lot of interaction with new moms, or they're on their pregnancy journey. I got certified as a prenatal fitness. And also, I don't know if you're familiar with the TRX. It's actually developed by Navy SEAL, and it's just a kind of a portable way to get to. You use a series of like suspensions, and you can put them around a door jamb or around a tree or, you know, on a bar, and all sorts of different exercises. So I got certified in that. And then during my time on the military base, there was an opportunity because there was a lot of interest from the clients that they wanted to do some yoga. And
can I interrupt you just a little bit there? Sorry. Yeah. Where did the tennis sort of fit in? Did you already play tennis then? Or has that just been an interest of yours all your life? Or did it come later?
I played for fun with my friends in high school who were on the tennis team, right? I was just kind of basically somebody to hit the ball back. I was certainly not serious about it at all. I just was like, okay, that was fun. But then I didn't get serious about playing myself. I didn't really even consider playing because I was always so active doing other things, that it was during my son's summer break one year when he was, I think he was just going into college. And he was at home and I said, hey, let's go find something to do. We're going to, you know, let's go do something active. And he said, okay. So asked him a couple things. He said, tennis sounds like fun. So in answer to your question, it was later in life that I kind of caught the tennis bug. Okay. So that was that we.
When you were ready for fitness in the military, for the military, or before that?
I was already in the military fitness. So, but like I said, I was just real casually hacking at the ball. Now at the parks nearby, but then I, you know, got serious, and my son and I took lessons, and then, you know, he went back to school, and then I started playing on leagues, and more I was immersed in the tennis community, the more the bug bit me. So I was just all tennis all the time, love it, and I still play. I try to play about 4 to 5 times a week if possible.
Okay. That's a lot. Yeah. Okay.
So then the yoga was something that the military families and military people wanted to try. And so I got certified in that and offered that on the base and built a huge yoga community where people really enjoyed it. And, you know, from people that were elite Navy SEALs to people that were maybe deconditioned and had been sitting behind a desk forever, but they were working for the military and they would come on their lunch break. And the beautiful thing about yoga is it's for everybody. You can do whatever is best for your body. And in that document or that book that I wrote with co-wrote with PK, there are modifications all along the way. If your pose doesn't look like, let's say, my pose, you're still doing the pose that for your body, and you're still getting the benefits of that pose for your body. That's what the beautiful thing about it.
Okay. So how did you then end up basically doing, incorporating your yoga? I mean, what sparked the idea of doing it? Is it just because you were teaching yoga and you were very into tennis that you just said, oh, let's put the two things together and write a book? How did that happen?
Well, okay, so before I even was asked to become a certified yoga instructor on the base, I had added yoga to my fitness regimen on my own at a studio nearby my house. And I loved how it made me feel. I felt much more flexible. I felt like I could move better with ease. And I just felt better about it. And so it was a nice, you know, it wasn't, if you like those real sweaty, hardcore workouts, right? Some people kind of like just a little bit. They want a lower impact and such. But it doesn't matter what style of exercise you like. You add the component of yoga because there's so many different kinds of yoga. There's fitness yoga. There's restorative yoga. There's gentle yoga. There's vinyasa yoga. You mentioned before when we spoke briefly that you did a yoga like for 6 months after an injury and you loved it. So do you remember what kind that was called? Was it a yoga or?
Look, I must be honest. This happened like I did it about 10 years ago. And yes, it was after a knee operation I had. And quite a bit after that, because it hadn't really I didn't really recover completely my knee. And I had this big gym close to my house and they were giving like free yoga lessons in the morning. So I just joined and I'm usually a very skeptical guy, but I did it for 6 months and I really enjoyed it. It changed my mind completely. I couldn't believe how difficult it is. And it made me sleep better. It made me, it was positive on many, many levels. However, I'm a big tennis fan. So I started playing tennis a lot more again and I kind of ignored a bit the yoga, but it is something I can see myself incorporating as I get older and maybe with a bit more time because I really enjoyed it.
That's the great thing about yoga is that, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's kind of hard. And I don't know how many times people said, well, I can't do yoga. I'm not flexible. And I would always respond back and say, that's exactly the reason why you should do yoga, because it'll help you get more flexible. You know, everybody's on their own fitness journey. Yeah. Everybody has their own comes to an exercise class or whatever their mode of exercise is, from tennis playing to they come to the court. Everybody has their own injury history, right? Everybody's had some tweak or something with a shoulder or a knee or an ankle or whatever the case may be, elbow. So everybody comes from their own perspective. And so what seems hard to one person might seem very challenging to the next, or to the next person next to them, it might be like, oh, I can do this. This is great. So I'm all about empowering everybody that comes into class. It doesn't matter if you've never done yoga before. I'm there. I'm going to show you how you can do the poses. And doing anything is better than nothing.
Yeah. Right? I must say, a lot of the things in your book, actually, a little bit new. Because, for example, you start off the book with the elastic band. And a warm-up, which is excellent. And it's something that myself and also my sons do quite often. And it's kind of familiar, but yeah, they're excellent exercises. And then after that in the book, I see you show all the different yoga poses. And some of them I kind of remember, like the cat-cow and the cobra and the warrior one and so on. They're quite common poses. But it was great. It kind of refreshed my mind about yoga and also all these other things. But I just wanted to, because I wanted to go back to the tennis. So if you had to give our listeners sort of a reason or some reasons to incorporate yoga into their fitness, their tennis fitness, What would the reasons be, and why should they do it?
So every day, whether you're 20 years old or you're 70 years old, everyone is aging every day. So we're all getting older, right? So while you get older, we've got people that we know maybe personally in our lives, or neighbors or friends or somebody that you coworkers that you see that are older, that have lost maybe their mobility to move very well, or you've got fun friends that you play a fun tennis match with, but they've got bandages everywhere, knees, ankles, wrists, right? And they're putting all their, you know, they're basically their support stuff on before they go onto the mat. And, or they might be looking for a young doubles partner so that young doubles partner can move around for them, right? So the point of doing yoga is it's got very, very profound long-term scientific evidence that it will reduce the injuries in your body. And tennis is a lifetime sport. It can be if you love it. And why not stay out there mobile and be able to get to that drop shot or split step with some explosive quad power in your front of your thighs, and be able to get there and be mobile and play like you did maybe you're 30, but you're now 70, right? So you go and take a typical tennis player and you start them at 20 and you see the difference of, and they don't do anything to prevent anything along the way. At 70, they're going to be a very different looking tennis player. Most of us are on our cell phones during the day, right? Or our computer, or we don't have perfect posture when we're tired and we're driving. So we're all rounding our shoulders and hunching forward in our bodies. Okay, well, that's not very conducive and for tennis, right? So yoga will help open up the front body, right? It will help stabilize and build muscle endurance in the body so that you can stay on that court long-term, reduced injuries. And most tennis players come up to me and said, oh, my hip hurts. Oh, gosh, I've got the sciatic nerve. Oh, my shoulders, I can't reach up there. How many times, like I said, I've spoken that I'm on the taller side. I don't know how many elderly people will shuffle, right? And they're shuffling when they're going in and out of the grocery store. Yeah. Or like, excuse me, ma'am, can you reach that for me? So here's the deal. We all have the same body parts, right? So do you want to see your future of asking, oh gosh, who's going to help me get that can up there on the top of the shelf? Or do you want to be able to go into your grocery store with your kids or your grandkids and keep up with them? Or are they looking back and going, okay, we got to wait for her, we got to wait for him? So the bottom line is we all have the same body parts, right? And you work on them now, you're not going to be shuffling the senior. You're not going to be have frozen shoulder or not be able to serve very well anymore. So that's the beautiful aspect of yoga, is that you are still keeping your body nice and spry and open and agile and ready to play on the court.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. And I think also from what I read, you know, when you've got somebody like Djokovic, Sharapova, and Andy Murray, who all were very positive or into yoga, then, you know, we've got sort of like a confirmation that it's definitely something that that helps tennis and tennis players. But I was really interested in your book. For example, because you go quite also specifics in specifically talk about, for example, the serve, which is arguably the most important shot in tennis, and you talk a lot about the shoulder girdle. Exactly. Is that what you say, shoulder girdle? What is that? And you talk about an exercise called reverse fly. Is that something really important? Because I'd like to also give the listeners maybe an example of what sort of pose or what exercise to do to extend or lengthen the shoulder muscle. So then their serve will get better.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the shoulder girdle, people are like, what are you talking about? So if you're familiar with American football, and the American football players put on their shoulder pads, right? And then it's got a breastplate in the front, and it's got a short kind of across the top of the shoulders behind it. So that, in essence, is an outline of your shoulder girdle inside your body, right? So the shoulder is one of the most, if not the most, mobile joint in the body. So what does that mean? That means it's very prone to injury, right? So what happens when you, when you, and also tennis is a one-side dominant sport for the most part. You're the right-handed or left-handed, or you might be double-handed on the backhand. But what the thing, back to the shoulder, is that you want to keep that nice and mobile and range of motion nice and free and open so that you can reach that shot. Maybe it's a little out of your way with proper footwork, right? And you can serve with that power, and you can go ahead and do a beautiful, you know, forehand, you know, cross court, you know, shot. So, but the part that I really think a lot of people forget about is when you think about that shoulder girdle behind, you know, the breastplate, like the NFL players in the States, you think about the spine right there. The top of the spine is called the cervical spine near the neck. The bottom of the spine is called the lumbar spine near the very low back, where a lot of people get, the middle of the spine, people don't really think about. There's not a lot of attention to that. That's called the thoracic spine, right? So the thoracic spine is, again, one of the most important parts of that serve. While you, especially if you're a kick server, right, you want to have mobility in that thoracic spine, because if you don't use it, just like elderly people shuffling and not being able to reach something on the top shelf, you are going to tighten those muscle bellies in all of the areas of your body, and you're not going to have very much flexibility. Let's say if you haven't stretched in like 10 years, right, and you try to kind of take arm back, you're like, right? So you want to keep it open and mobile. So you want to, you want to work on that mid spine. That thoracic spine is surprisingly really important in your serve, especially as we age. So I always kind of talk to my clients that come to my yoga classes or my fitness classes or my fellow tennis players that I can talk into coming into the yoga studio. I tell them, I said, you can go ahead and not work it, but you need to elongate the muscle bellies. So and if you don't, they shorten. And then what's that happen? Then you don't have very good range of motion. So the nice thing about yoga is that you don't have to go to a studio. You don't have to get fancy clothes on. You don't have to do any of that. You can do it from your home. YouTube, they have that over in South Africa, I'm sure, right? They have wonderful instructors on there that have YouTube classes for free. You can just go check it out. And then part of the book has an accessory book guide that PK and I added to, where you could get them on Amazon. On Amazon, or you could get them at your Walmart or your big box store. Just small, little, inexpensive items that you can throw in your bag to help you keep your body nice and mobile for the court and open. And, you know, the big thing is that, you know, as we age, this is kind of what put everything together for me. You know, people fall when they get elderly, right? People can't move as well. So if you build stability in your body, what does that mean? We're building muscle endurance in our legs and our quads, our legs, our hamstrings, our quads, our glutes, and our feet and our ankles, which are real important in tennis, you're going to have a nice, stable lower body. Then you do some more poses that work on the stability in your upper body, okay? So when you're older and maybe a big dog comes along and brushes against you, and you've got a strong core, you're very less likely to have a catastrophic fall, right? So if you build stability through yoga, right? Just holding a pose. I'm pretty sure you remember the chair pose, right? Yeah. healthy man is, that's a lesson of getting through it, and then you build stability, and then you can work on your mobility. So stability before mobility, which will help you in the court in the long run.
We could talk about all the different poses and their benefits for tennis. I think we'll be here too long, but I did see, like, for example, the ankles, would that be like the tree pose, or am I wrong?
The tree pose is great, and the tree pose is good. And then I also have in there, I use what's called a yoga strap when you're lying up and you've got the strap underneath your leg, and you take it out to the side of your body. And there's the great thing is you don't have to go all the way to the side. You can just go a couple, degrees here or there. And then you use that resistance of that yoga strap and flex and point your foot. You are going to strengthen the ankles that way. Right. So if you don't have a yoga strap, or you're like, look, I don't want to invest any money into it. Pretty sure everybody has a belt in their closet. Right. So you could use a belt. Or you could use, if you have a dog, you could use a dog leash. So it really doesn't have to be expensive or a pain in the behind to just try the yoga. And I really recommend people trying, like, at least three times to kind of see how their body feels.
I agree. The reason I was asking about that, the ankles, is that I personally played a lot of tennis growing up, then I stopped, and then I took on tennis again about 10 years ago with a friend of mine. We kind of went all out, and I just remember the first year, the amount of injuries and inflammation and things I had on my ankles was incredible. Like, every month I had to stop for a week because I wasn't fit, blah, blah, blah. But obviously, I think looking back, if I'd maybe slowly incorporated a bit of yoga and these kind of exercises, because I didn't enjoy that first year. It's actually a miracle I kept on playing because I was injured every month. So it just reminded me of, there's things that you kind of forget, but it could have assisted my body if I'd done a bit of yoga and stretching and all that. By the way, I wanted to ask you this question. I don't know if you can call yoga stretching, but obviously it involves stretching. Do you think stretching in tennis is beneficial before playing or training and after, or is it only better to do it before or after?
If you're gonna pick just one, I would say do it before you get on the court.
Yeah,
and I have that PK, Bill Kim, my co-author, and I have that as part of our 15-minute warm-up. We're opening up the hips and the ankles and the shoulders. So I would say do that. I also would encourage you find a free yoga class and try that out. And the nice thing is I've had people that are just so against yoga said, okay, I'll try it. Have come up to me and said, I did not realize how much better I would feel just walking around in my body. And I know it sounds like, sure, lady, you're telling me something that's really going to be magical. But no, you really are just helping your body get out of those unhealthy patterns of, stooping forward, looking at your phone, and your body's going to go, oh, this feels good again. And the nice thing also about yoga is you don't need anything other than you're getting more flexible. But yoga is an excellent form of weight training or strength training just by the use of your own body weight. I'm sure you remember that when you did it.
So you can get
And then what I mentioned in the book was about how breathing properly in yoga helps to, especially when you're balancing on one leg, like tree pose, you want to breathe and focus on one thing. Yeah. What does that do? That laser focuses you. Keeps you present right here in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Properly.
I was going to say that. Yeah, so, sorry. I think it helps in so many ways. I mean, one is exactly that. You're focusing on one thing, the breathing, yeah, which is also very important in tennis, and the balance. I mean, balance is very important as well. So, yeah, it's very beneficial.
And the nice thing also, perfect, I love about yoga is that when you're brand new to yoga and you come to yoga and you're like, I got this, especially the athletes that come to my class. They're like, I got that. This is going to be easy. And that's fine. I mean, that's great. But everybody has one side of the body that's more dominant than the other. You're either right-handed or left-handed, right? And it's especially true for the repetitive patterns of especially a professional tennis player, even a higher level amateur player. So you've got one side of the body that's super dominant, right? So that sets you up for injuries on the weak side.
Yeah.
So what yoga does is we stand on one foot, we balance, and we stand on the other foot and we balance on that. And you're like, whoa, this is way harder on this side because you're more dominant on one side. So the yoga is great because it gives you immediate feedback. Wow, I didn't know I was so much weaker on this leg. Oh, wow, I didn't know that I didn't have that range of motion on that side. Yeah. And then this way you balance yourself out and you are reducing your risk of injuries, right? So, and back to the breath,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
breathing
yeah,
is cool. is important in yoga, and breathing is just important, especially in a long match. And it's a tight match and you're a deuce and you want to win. And, you know, you got to stay present, one constructing your one point at a time, as you know. So, yeah, it's very parallel worlds of,
yeah.
And like I said, there's a lot of professional athletes, not just in tennis, but worldwide, that incorporate yoga and have nothing but positive results.
Yeah,
and positive comments about it.
Positive things. That's right. Yeah. Just to, to finally bring it to an end. Not the, I've got other questions I'll ask you, but where can our listeners purchase the book or maybe get hold of you?
Okay, well, I'm on social media under Seattle, Seattle M for Marsha and Gray, Gray. So it's Seattle M Gray on Instagram. And it's a public profile. So, you know, you don't need to request anything, but I'm happy to answer any questions that any of your listeners might have. And then also the book is a ebook. It's 157 pages. It's 22 poses. It's modifications of all those poses, no matter what level you're at. And it is it's because we want it to be affordable for everybody, right? And especially with this pandemic and people losing jobs and stuff, it's a $5 download through lovesetmatch.net. You go on there, you find the Yoga for Tennis book. It's like a add it to your cart and you download it. It's $5. And once you download it, you have 7 days to download it. It's on your phone and there's no shipping. There's nothing. But the nice thing about it, it's on your phone and there's that 15-minute tennis warm-up right there. It's right on your phone. So you can take it you portable and it's right there. Yeah. So, and it's got that accessory guide on there of if you want to maybe add to your yoga practice and maybe add that yoga strap or a block or something else. So, or a foam roller to keep that thoracic spine nice and open. So, I think that pretty much answers that. And I just want to try and bring more awareness to yoga, to the masses. And just know that, you know, those people, those professional athletes across the world that really have the staying power that, you know, you find people that are in their 40s, still playing tennis, still playing football, American football, still. It's crazy that like 40 years ago or 30 years ago, that was unheard of, but they invest a little bit of time into your body and it's going to take you further into the aging process. So I call it aging with ease. So, I don't want to be achy and have a walker and wheelchair bound. I want to be able to do things, right? So,
for sure. I think nobody wants that, but Your book is very practical, and I agree with everything you say. I mean, the older I'm getting, I realize, you know, things that, like, just like yoga, that I didn't pay a lot of attention to. You're discovering your body and these exercises that you can do, and they're so important. And I mean, when I did yoga, I remember for those 6 months there was muscles I didn't even know I had. You know? So it's definitely beneficial again in many ways. Marcia, thanks a lot. I had one question though, going back to your fitness in the military. There was I read that you helped military members stay mission ready. I found that very like an action movie.
I'd be happy to explain that to you. So when you are active duty in the United States service, I can speak obviously personally from, you know, being in a Navy family, but it does apply to all the services across the board. You could be called up at any time, any day, any whatever, and you've got to be ready to get on that ship and deploy for 6 months, right? You need to stay in shape. You need to be, you know, and you've got to stay within body fat regulations, and you got to stay within weight regulations, and you've got to pass they call it a physical readiness test, right? It's called a PRT, and you have to, you know, pass a test with being able to run and being able to do sit-ups and push-ups. So you're always able to, go, and if you're needed, wherever you're needed, ship, submarine, aircraft, you're ready to go, and you're also in shape. And we work on the cardiovascular system so that people aren't huffing and puffing when they're, you know, out there trying to, you know, walk up a big hill with all their gear on their back. We work on the cardiovascular, and we also work on the muscle endurance, because the more, which helps a tennis player, the stronger you are in your body, especially for a longer tennis match. You are not going to go, oh gosh, my feet feel like, you know, big bricks. You're going to be able to bounce around and split step and get to those balls. You want to have that built in muscle endurance in your legs and your arms. So does that answer your question? I hope.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, no. I was just very interested. It sounded very, very, amazing. I mean, it was great. Marcia, I usually end the podcast with this mega rapid fire sort of quiz, just to get to know the guest a bit better. And it's obviously tennis related. So, but I think you're fine because you obviously play tennis.
Yeah, sure.
Are you ready? Are you ready for these questions? Okay. Right. So what's your very first memory of tennis?
It's kind of funny, but my very first full-on memory of tennis and watching tennis was the Battle of the Sexes with Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. Yeah.
Okay.
After my son was out of high school. So I've been playing for about 10, 11 years now. So but I wish, I look back at these little kids that are taking lessons on the next court, that are little 3-year-olds that are like, you know, whizzing around. I'm like, geez, I should have done that. So, but it's all good.
Mm-hmm. if somebody that doesn't know you, if you had to define what type of player you are,
ooh, good question.
How would you describe yourself?
I would say, I try to be very strategic in my, I try to point out spots in the court that I really like to, you know, look for to hit shot on at. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
My favorite shot, I'd say a short angled backhand to the alley.
Short angle back end. No. Okay, that's a good shot. Yeah, I love it. Not easy.
I don't know why.
Did you have a tennis idol? Maybe.
Well, you know, there's so many to be, you know, kind of admire. You know, I admire the older population of tennis players moving the dial to what the evolution of tennis has come to now. But, you know, I've always just kind of really enjoyed the different personalities on the court, and some that seemed so serious and some that seemed like it was, you know, just a cakewalk being out there and winning a major. So I don't know if I really had any favorite back then, but I just really enjoyed the strategy and, oh, wow, that was a great shot. Oh, wow. I didn't see that one coming. So, yeah, and you know what I love about tennis the most is that you can be so far out of the game as far as they're up 5-love, and there's, you still got that chance, you know? I love that. I love it. So,
Currently, is there any player
I really enjoy watching
that you really enjoy watching?
As Djokovic, I just love how he moves. I just love how you can tell the yoga is very, very much a part of his life.
Okay. And if you had to list the big three, so we're talking about Federer, Djokovic, Nadal, your favorites to your least favorite?
First, then Djokovic, and then Nadal.
Okay, all right. What's your favorite tournament in the world?
Well, I'll tell you what, I love all of the tournaments, but living in the Pacific Northwest on the west coast of the United States, I love the beautiful atmosphere of the Indian Wells, and been there many, many times. And I still go from Virginia.
That's one of my, I must go there. I've been to quite a few tournaments, but that's one of my favorites. I still have to go there. Do you have a favorite surface? Do you play mostly on hard, or I imagine, or maybe not?
I do play mostly on hard. We've got clay courts back here, but I do prefer the hard surface.
Hard surface, okay. Favorite, do you have a favorite pair of shoes, tennis shoes?
I'm a big fan of New Balance and Asics. Those are beautiful, nice stability on the tennis court.
Okay. Getting a bit technical here, but do you pay attention? Do you have a preference for your strings or tension, or do you just play?
I just play with whatever my pro kind of. So I probably should know that, but yeah.
No, your racket. What racket?
Go ahead.
What racket do you use? What's your racket?
I use, believe it or not, I use the newer Federer racket.
Okay, isn't that quite heavy?
You know, it's funny because people, especially men, tend to shy away from it. But it's heavier compared to the masses. But one thing, because it's a player's racket, it gives you a lot of feedback. Like, bip, you're going to have to learn how to hit the ball properly, or you're not going to do what you want. So what I like about it is challenging, because I've got to make sure I've got my angles and my unit turn of my hip and my shoulder and following through. And that's what I like about it. Challenging, but it helps me become a better player.
Okay, that's a great answer. I call this the Stefanos Tsitsipas question, the Greek philosopher. Why do you play tennis?
I love the challenge every day, because I'm really, even if I have a doubles partner, I'm really, my side of the court is my responsibility. And I love the strategy, and I love the camaraderie, and I love the fact that it's, you know, it's just a fun kind of thing that you can just get a couple other people together, and the strategy and the mindset is really important to me.
Okay. You have to book a restaurant and invite free players. It can be male, female, of any era. Which restaurant do you book, and who do you invite?
Okay, so I don't know the name of a restaurant because I haven't been there yet, but it's on my bucket list to go to the Amalfi Coast, right?
Oh, okay, and yeah.
So up a beautiful, beautiful waterfront, you know, cliff restaurant looking down over the Amalfi Coast. And I would, because I admire these ladies so much, it would have to be more than three. I would invite in the United States, if there's Billie Jean King and her original nine, they're the one, the ladies that helped move the tennis scale of women's tennis worldwide. So I would have all of those trailblazer ladies.
Okay, and, so a big table.
Yes. Yes.
Do you enjoy cooking?
Love it. Absolutely love it. Because I'm kind of a creative type anyways. I'm really into interior design and such. So that's another way to express myself is through my cooking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Your favorite food? Is there one?
I do like Italian food, and I do like some Mexican food, like the tacos and such. But I'd have to say my favorite dish, hands down, is from your neck of the woods. It's a Roman dish called cacio e pepe. I'm sure you're familiar with
fantastic. Yeah.
I love it. Surprisingly, very, very challenging to make properly, but I love it. I just love it.
Yeah. It's quite simple, but they say the simple dishes are the most difficult. Yeah.
And I would agree with that. Yes.
Do you have a favorite pizza topping?
I like a thin crust, and Italian pizza over in Italy is my favorite, of course. But I like really good quality ingredients. You know, like a margarita is perfect. Do you like to eat still? You probably grew up eating some pizza, right? Growing up in Italy.
Obviously I grew up. I'm also in the pizza business, by the way. So yeah, no, I eat too much pizza, to be honest.
Never too much.
Are you more of a tea or coffee, or do you like both?
Yeah. Coffee, and if you're familiar with anything of the coffee culture in the United States, Seattle's one of the like the big hubs of, you know, Starbucks got started there. So. Very much coffee, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any hobbies apart from your fitness and yoga and tennis? Any particular hobbies?
I do like to scour antique stores just to find something special and then refinish the furniture myself if I need to.
Okay.
So you've got a bit of an
side to you.
Yeah, so I do, and I'm really into interior design, so I'm always changing things around my house, and so, but I really enjoy that, so.
Okay. Do you like if you have to choose between sea, city, mountain, or countryside, which one do you prefer?
I would have to say, you know, I grew up around the water, I'd have to say the water. Somewhere. Okay. I mean, I spent a lot of time, spent some many years in Hawaii. So, I mean, I just loved it. It was just, and then here on the East Coast, I'm right near the Atlantic Ocean. So what's one thing I like about the Navy is the water wherever we were stationed. So,
okay. A lot of tennis players are superstitious. Are you a superstitious person?
I tend to have superstitions myself. Yes. Yes.
Okay. I won't ask which ones. Do you have a favorite country? It can't be your home country. It has to be another country.
Okay. Well, I'd say because there's such a variety to this country. And growing up somewhat near the border, the western side of this was Canada. I mean, you know, from west to east, there's so many different provinces, and there's, you know, the Banff and the Canadian Rockies and, you know, Alberta, and, you know, then we've got Montreal over on the east side. There's just so many varieties, and I've spent a lot of time in Canada growing up. So
Okay, interesting. Favorite city in the world?
Rome.
Rome, okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent choice. do you think tennis is the most difficult sport in the world?
Oh gosh, that's a hard one, because I think when you get a bunch of professional athletes that are, you know, in their own craft, right? I think there's components of every single professional sport that has some difficulty. I mean, as far as like challenges and now some are more mind, you know, mind related, like, you know, you're playing with yourself against the other person, you know, on the tennis court. Golf is the same way. They're more mind centric too. But I think there's components for every sport that are pretty difficult, but I'd say tennis is probably on the higher side. Yes.
Okay, great. I always kind of end with this. You have to just choose a player. It can be male or female, any era, and build the perfect player. So we start with the serve.
Gosh, shoot, okay. great. Let's see. Pete Sampras.
Pete Sampras. Okay, that's an excellent one. Return.
Ooh. Agassi.
Okay, forehand.
Let's say. I'd say probably Federer.
Very good one so far. Backhand.
Well, you know, Stan is amazing, Stan Wawrinka. But I gotta give it to Steffi Graf. She had an amazing backhand too. So
okay, that's nice ones. Okay. Volley.
This kind of goes back a little bit. I'd have to say probably McEnroe, Billie Jean, Martina, Navratilova. They were excellent volley. Okay. Yeah.
What? This could be a bit of a tricky one. Drop shot.
I think Djokovic has a nice touch to his, but I think Andy Murray's got, you know, he's pretty much an automatic shot for him if he needs it. So, of course, Kyrgios, of course. Everybody probably says that, though.
Okay, great. Movement.
Ooh, Nadal. You can get anything and everything. And Martina Hingis was a pretty good mover back in her day, too, I might say.
Okay. I can see. I really like your answers. You're very similar to what I would choose as well. Mentality.
Mentality, like the grit part of the mentality, is that what you're talking about? I'd have to say, now she's no longer retired, and say what you will about her game, but I'll tell you what, she was down zero, you know, love six or love four, whatever. Even somebody just smacking her down, Maria had that steel curtain mentality. She never gave up. I didn't compare that, but I also think Djokovic and Monica Seles were really good mental grit people too.
Okay. Touch, feel touched.
Ooh, gosh, that's a hard one. Well, I did mention to it earlier is, you know, the players that I feel that have the great touch are the ones that have so many shots in their toolbox, right? They could just, they're not just banging from baseline to baseline. They can go, oh, let's just do a slice over here, or let's just do our drop shot, or let's volley over. I mean, let's lob over your head. So, I think most of the tennis professionals have some sort of, but Roger's good. So is Djokovic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So.
A bit everyone. Okay. No, that's good. And to finish, if you had to choose a personality, like a personality that you like on court, off court, who would you say?
Gosh, there's so many that I think are just would be fun to hang out with, right? So just to, you know, talk to. Having some experience with the Bryan brothers when they were always really accessible to the fans when they were at
Indian Wells, they were just like regular people, because you're like, oh my gosh, it's the Bryan brothers. But they were really friendly and approachable, and it wasn't a weird thing. They didn't think it was weird that people were asking them questions. But you know, I like the playful attitudes of the players, because, you know, it's a very serious sport and you're playing for lots of money and you want to keep your rankings up. And I understand that, but it's nice that when they deal with us, the regular people out there, they're the spectators and the fans, that they can be a little more playful and interactive with us. So I guess there's a lot that could go into that. I guess it doesn't really answer your question, but I like how Coco is, even though Coco got off the, you know, she's newer and she's hungry, but she's happy to be there. I like that.
Okay, great. Okay, and to finish everything off, I always ask this final question. Ask yourself a question. It can be anything, doesn't have to be personal, and answer it.
Oh, that sounds like an easy question there, Gianluca. So I'll look at is, what would current Marcia tell young Marcia? That's what I'd look at it, you know, and I'd say all those things that I used to worry about and stress about and go, oh my gosh, all that energy that I took and, you know, in real estate that occupied my mind with all these things that I was worried about that were out of my control. I would now just answer and say, it's going to be okay. It's all going to work out. Whatever it looks like, it's all going to be okay. That would be my answer.
Okay. Fantastic. Marcia, I really enjoyed talking to you. It was great to have you. I think we're just under an hour, so it's flew by. And I'll put all your information up also in my summary or my introduction podcast. And it was really nice to speak to you.
It was great speaking to you too. And I just wanted to add also, I'm available by email with seattlemgray@gmail.com. Any and all questions, don't be afraid to ask me. I'm happy to help anyone, anything that can help everybody feel better in their bodies. Ask away. So I remain, you know, accessible to everybody that has any questions. So great talking to you. It was a pleasure. And I'm honored that you had me on your podcast. And one day, if you're in Indian Wells and I'm there, or you're on the East Coast here and I'm come to Cape Town, we'll have to play some tennis.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Thanks a lot. And have a great day, rest of the day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Take care. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Okay, ciao, ciao. Bye-bye.